Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike D'Antonio, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Come on by and visit us. Bobby J and I will be on until 8 o'clock tonight, and we've got some great guests coming up. One of them is on the line now, the voice of the Tennessee Titans, old buddy Mike Keith. Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight.
Mike D, it is my pleasure to be with you. Thank you for asking.
Mike, was a great run. It came to the end yesterday, but if I would have told you back in September this team's going to the AFC Championship game, I don't think anybody would have believed it.
I think you're probably right, especially in early October when we were 2-4 and
yeah,
we couldn't score. But, you know, a quarterback change, an offensive line improvement, a team that consistently got better even into the playoffs and gained confidence. It was an incredible run. You know, only four teams have started the season 2-4 and made a conference championship game. One of them was the 2002 Titans. Another of them, this Titans team that fell yesterday. This one was considerably more fun than even the one in 2002 for us.
Now, Mike, what were the Chiefs doing compared to when – because that wasn't that long ago. When you look at the game in November and what occurred and obviously, like Coach Vrabel said, you got off to a fast start. You have a double-digit lead. And then Pat Mahomes working his magic. But what was, in your opinion, Derrick Henry was held to 69 yards and 19 carries after basically rushing for almost 600 yards in the past three games. What did you see that the Chiefs did? And how would you break that down, considering that he was, like, stomping the team, the previous teams, but not so much this game?
Two things, Bobby. First of all, you start with the fact that the Chiefs made no mistakes. They lost two field goal opportunities in the game in Nashville. One of them on a bad snap, another one was blocked. They also saw the Titans pick up a fumble and Rashawn Evans returned it for a touchdown. So they made no mistakes at all. The second part of it is, their offense in taking over the game took the Titans' offense out of it. They kept the ball. They got the lead. They scored 28 straight points. And because the Titans could not stay on the field and because the game only featured 9 total possessions, Tennessee couldn't stick with the running game. And so even though we were at a point in the first half where with 6:39 to go, Derrick Henry already had a total of 14 carries. He got only 5 carries after that, largely due to the Chiefs' offense.
Mike, I think the surprise for everybody was the play of Ryan Tannehill. You know, he just came in here, and the one thing, and you and I talked about this, it was he felt more comfortable. He was more decisive with his throws downfield. That we didn't see a lot of that in Miami, but he became much, much stronger. And man, listen, it wasn't like the yo-yo where, man, I want to throw it, and almost like a pullback. He was making those throws, and we saw the emergence of A.J. During this season. And he had a terrific rookie season for a wide receiver, but it was really Ryan Tannehill that was the story here, that when the season started, it almost was like storybook. Had this team been able to win and get to Super Bowl Sunday to see what's happened with Tannehill?
Yeah, you know, I think the pressure being off him was a big thing. I think that that stood out. He sort of had all those things go on in Miami, and it was just – it always seemed like it was crazy there. And so finally they got him in a situation in Tennessee that it was stable. The other thing, too, is Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill really developed a bond – And Tannehill was calling a lot of his own plays at the line. Obviously, there were things they had gone over during the week, but he makes a lot of fantastic choices. And I know you said when he came out of Texas A&M, he was really smart.
Yep.
You know, he was talking about being an orthopedic surgeon at one point in his life. This guy could really make the proper checks and the proper calls. And along with the offensive line, I think Derrick Henry really benefited a lot from Tannehill calling the plays at the line. It was an offensive coordinator and a quarterback totally in sync.
Now, Mike, when you look at the Titans and the fan base, 9-7, and you get hot, you go on a run in the playoffs, and you're one game away from the Super Bowl. Well, what is their mindset right now going forward? Are they optimistic? And obviously, you know, the way a team is structured, I always take the approach, did you win or did you lose the game? But you have to be impressed when you consider who they beat to get even to the point for the AFC Championship. When you beat the Patriots, and they're the 21st century team a couple of decades, and then the Ravens, how they were structured. Boy, the Titans got to be proud. And I even told Saints fans, look, we were down 14-0 on the road, and we end up coming back and win, but that was no Derrick Henry. So are the fans optimistic going forward the way they structured?
Yes. And, you know, it's a funny thing about the Titans. First team in NFL history to go 9-7 four straight
years.
Whoa.
But, you know, one of only four teams with four straight winning records. So the fan base through the regular season was tepid. They're like, this is great. This is fun. They enjoyed all the offense in the second half of the season because the Titans really haven't had much offense since Steve McNair. And so they were okay. Well, then you go to New England and you eliminate Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And the fan base says, what? What just happened? And then you follow that up by beating a team that cost you two Super Bowls, the Baltimore Ravens, who were massive favorites in the game. And now the fan base is completely back on board. They were excited about yesterday. They are not broken by the loss. They're excited about the offseason. Those two wins were program changers in terms of the energy of the fan base. And the organization, hey, listen, this football team needed to prove they could take the next step.
That's right.
And, Bobby, they did with those wins.
One of the things, too, is I always tell this to Bobby, that the GM there, John Robinson, got his start in Thibodaux, Louisiana. He was a GA at Nicholls State. Then he became the linebacker coach. And I remember him telling me, hey, I got a new job. And I was like, what job you got? He says, I'm going to be a regional scout for the New England Patriots. So, you know, his startup was right here on the bayou, so to speak, in Thibodaux. And what a great job John has done in piecing this team together.
He's got a big job in this offseason, too. Right now we have roughly 20 free agents. So he, you know, he's got some cap room. He's going to pick 29th. John is fun to watch in terms of the wheeling and dealing. And so I'm going to be interested to see what he does in what is his fifth offseason. He's awfully good at what he does. And Amy Adams Strunk has done a lot of great things as controlling owner of this team. The best thing she did was hire John Robinson.
One of the things is hopefully you get a full year from Jeffrey Simmons, because I'm telling you, that guy is going to be a difference maker one day in the NFL, the way he can play up front.
You know, he did a nice job overall, but admitted, you know, his knee's still sore and he's still working through some things. I mean, structurally, he's fine, but overall, and his recovery was incredible, by the way. But, you know, he's like, I sure would like an off season to train, to be a little lighter. And I'm interested to see him in year two because he was pretty doggone good this year. I have a feeling you're right. He'll be an enforcer next year.
Now, Mike, what is your take on Pat Mahomes? Because I look at this, the difference, and why the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. He had 11 postseason touchdowns, not a single interception, and then he led the Chiefs in rushing the last 2 weeks. To me, I heard him quote, I think, when he was doing an interview, when he said, well, I'd see the double coverage and didn't necessarily panic, and he would just utilize his feet. And I thought that that was a big part of what they did to come back and take the lead and keep the momentum, that when you look at it all of a sudden, that he had now, I was somewhat surprised by this because I know the Titans were aware that he has the mobility, but eight carries for 53 yards.
Yeah, and two of those were kneel downs. Right. So, yeah. I mean, he tore us up with the running. The touchdown at the end of the first half totally changed the ball game. What do you do with him? I mean, there's a John Elway quality to this player,
yep,
based on the arm strength, the ability to throw it from anywhere. There's so many plays that he makes that I know his coaches are going, no, no, no. And right. Then after it's completed, they're like, yes, yes, yes. Yeah. To me, he's Michael Jordan. And as you watch him, even as the other broadcaster, he threw for 446 against us on November the 10th. And then yesterday, you know, had 350 yards of total offense before the kneel downs. I mean, the guy's spectacular. He's so great for the league. He's a bright kid. He studies hard. He plays his rear end off. I mean, if you don't have a great day against him, he's gonna take you to school. And unfortunately for us yesterday, he took us to school. He's special.
And you know, Mike, we were talking about this early in the show. I'm talking with Mike Dettelier and another Mike. And then are we looking at, like, okay, how can you describe him? You know, you look at his arm strength like John Elway and, you know, all the quarterbacks who have mobility and the arm strength. I'm telling you, he reminds me of Brett Favre, how he ad-libs, but he don't make as many mistakes. I think of Favre at times like, whoa, that wasn't planned. And like you were saying, no, 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 oh, good play.
The improvisational skills.
The ad-libbing that he does, but just protects the football a little more than Brett did. And Brett's my good friend. But it just seems like along those lines, and you can't coach that, but it just seems like at a young age, he is so disciplined to put it on his shoulders and be able to ad-lib and come out on top.
Well, my former broadcast partner, Pat Ryan, who played for the Jets for years, used to talk about Brett Favre, and every once in a while he would flock shoot. that he would do something he shouldn't do with the ball because he's Brett Favre. This kid never does that. There's never a throw from him that you say, what was that all about?
Right.
Every throw, there, even when he's on the run or something's being improvised, you can tell he's looked at things and said, if I have to go to my left, wait for this play, it will be there. I mean, you know, his dad being a big league pitcher and LaTroy Hawkins being his godfather, this is a kid who came into the league knowing how to be a pro. And I don't think his smarts get enough attention because, I mean, this is a kid who takes it seriously like a Breeze, like a Manning, like a Brady. I mean, you love how committed to this game this player is. And, you know, you hear the stories when he does his endorsement shoots for the Diamond Company or whatever. The only way he will do it is if there a place is there a place and is there time for him to get his workout in.
Whoa.
And that type of discipline, that's Peyton Manning-esque.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
That's things being important to you. That's a guy, regardless of position, I want on my football team that it is so important to, and when it's your quarterback, it's really beautiful.
One of the things, Mike, I'll always remember, he comes to the Manning Passing Academy, okay, and there's probably 40 guys sitting down waiting to get interviewed. He sat for 40 minutes. No one interviewed him. I grabbed my cameraman. I said, that's who we go and interview. And he was like, man, that's the guy, LSU. Man, they beat the tar out of him when they played him in the bowl game. I said, no, man, I've seen him throw. Let's go interview him. He was so gracious. He did one interview that day. He did it for us. And no one else interviewed him. He was so good during the interview, and he talked about, you know, that him being able to throw a 90-mile-an-hour fastball and everything else. But it, I asked him, what do you take out of coming here to the Manning camp? And he said, I just want to soak it in on what makes Peyton Manning, Eli Manning, the type players they are. He said, it's almost like osmosis. I want to soak in what they do and try to emulate it. And it's funny you bring that up.
Well, I went back and I read your write-up of him in the 2017 M&D draft guide. And you were dead on about everything, about all of the characteristics. And, man, you've got to credit John Dorsey and Brett Veach and Andy Reid for seeing what he could be. As my broadcast partner now, Dave McGinnis, calls him a generational talent.
Yep.
That they put into that incubator for the 2017 season and let him grow. And, I mean, the guy's 27-8 as a starter.
That's unbelievable.
He's phenomenal. That's winning.
Mike, you talk about that draft. And, Mike, we remember we were doing the draft. The Saints and Sean Payton were going to take Pat Mahomes.
Yeah.
Now think about this. And Andy
Reid. Got a little bit of a – somebody whispered in his ear,
and Andy
jumped him.
Jumped him.
He jumped him one ahead.
So, well, that would have been scary to see him in Sean Payton's offense, too. I think Andy Reid has done a great job letting the kid do what he does, and I think Sean Payton would have done the same thing.
Mike, thanks so much for joining us tonight. Man, we really appreciate it. It was a great run this year with the Titans. And, Mike – long after you have shed that mortal coil, you will be in NFL history for that call for the Music City Miracle.
Oh, that's awesome.
Long after Mike's gone, that call will always be there.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
All right, Mike
Keith, the voice of the Tennessee Titans for so many years. And if you watch that play and hear their home call of it, man, you'll never forget it.
Wade Phillips is still shocked that what happened.
And says that it was a forward pass. Wycheck threw that one.
Frank
Wycheck. We'll be back with more Second Guess right here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.